This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Big show coming your way today, Wednesday edition of the program, which means it's Washington Wednesday. We'll be talking to Christian Capel of The Athletic, talk about UW and what's going on with them. We'll speak to somebody from the Mariners, not entirely sure who it will be or at what time, but somebody from the Mariners will join us. Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, will join us at 4 o'clock as we each week will take a look at the opponent, try to speak with the voice behind it, a little opponent's preview, a little voice of the opponent, and then Abe Lucas of your Seattle Seahawks will join us at 4:30 today for our players spotlight. So a lot coming your way. Just have a seat, relax, stay out of the smoke out there. It's not good out there. Dave?
Dave? Yeah. How
you doing? Dave there?
Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
How's it going, man?
How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
You feeling all right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking up at the video screen and it just looks blurry.
That's on purpose.
Oh, okay. All right.
I asked if Taylor could blur out my face as well.
Well, but, it seems to have worked.
We don't want to see what's going on behind me because, yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of my rehabilitation training room going on right now.
All right. Well, so everything was a success. You're with us, so that's good news. And I hate to inform you that your pal, your buddy, your former teammate, Mark Schlereth, just took some shots at you yesterday.
Yeah, he had very little to say to me at the stadium when I saw him down in Santa Clara.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to get knee surgery. He's like, I can't bend my knee. He goes, my knees don't bend at all. You just don't bend them.
Just
I'm like,
oh,
that's the solution. Okay, good idea.
You guys are going to one-up each other. Is that
it?
Well, I told him you were trying to catch up to him in number of surgeries, and he said, oh, he's got a long way to go. And then he said, what did he say, Thumb? Something like, well, what has Dave done to hurt his knee anyway besides get fat? And I was like, wow.
Well, I mean, how many surgeries did Mark Schlereth have? He had a lot,
19,
right?
Or yeah. Something? Is that...
See,
right,
you got
Dave?
A ways to go, Dave.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That's my most annoyed. I get really annoyed when you go in for these things. And I just found out, or I didn't find out, but I remembered a surgery that I had. Because he's like, looks like you had microfracture surgery. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
That's bad when you've had so many surgeries. Yeah. You forget one.
And they're like, how many? Okay, tell me the date of every one of them. I'm like, no, that's stupid.
And it's impossible.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll
oh, well, good. I'm glad you're on the mend. You're hanging out at home. So good to have you with us. And I don't know, were you coherent enough last night to watch what happened with the Mariners?
Or yes, I was. Unfortunately,
it feel like a fever dream or something. Like you just figured, okay, this is the pain meds. This isn't really happening.
Yeah, I was laying there and I felt like I was actually in the surgical room, because what you can do is go, all right, give me some more, or knock me out.
Yeah.
And then I uttered that, and Shannon's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Oh, well, I want to go to sleep now because this offense went to sleep." So yeah, it was. And I, you know, my first thought was that Bob's going to say, this isn't sustainable.
Oh, it's most certainly not, Dave. In fact, it was unacceptable. I was so annoyed. I was so annoyed last night. It took everything in my power not to jump on Twitter and just rant. I mean, yeah, there were a couple comments, but I mean, just cut loose, because you weren't even competitive. You had one infield hit that probably should have been an error. I mean, the third baseman, what's his name, Machine? He threw
Machine.
His throw forced the first baseman to come off first base. So you could argue they didn't really have a hit. I mean, that was pathetic. Losing is one thing. We talked about it. They weren't going to sweep the rest of the schedule. They're going to lose games, and that happens. But when that happened, it's not like you went up against Shohei Ohtani. You didn't go up against Verlander. You didn't go up against Scherzer. You went up against a guy whose ERA in the month of September and J.P. Sears is 9.75. In his last two games alone, he gave, and you couldn't do anything. You did nothing when it matters most. It was, oh, man, was I ticked.
Well, I can imagine. I'm sure that a lot of the Mariner fans were ticked as well. And I, you know, that's the one thing we talked about is that, geez, please don't let it come down to where they have to. I mean, look, that'll be exciting. And I think they can do it. I think if they have to, you know, take the last five games, that this is a team that can do it. They'll be at home, right? What is it, their last 10 or 12 are at home. So, yeah, they can do it, but you just don't want to have to be in that situation. The other thing, too, we talked about this the other day, Bob, that you don't want to have to, you know, limp in sort of backdoor into the playoffs. We'll take it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. We'll take it. But, you know, you just want to kind of force your way in rather than, you know, have to have other teams win. So it's really, really disappointing. And, yeah, that was a particularly tough one. It, the A's, too. Oh, yeah. I can't stand the A's.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a, with that win, Dave, I don't know if you're – I put it on the show sheet. I don't know if you saw it. But with that win, they're now 40 games under 500. That brought them up to 40 under. I mean, it's just they're a bad team. They bailed at the beginning of the season, and you already had trouble with them before you lost the series, so it's not like that's new. But, man, one infield hit. When Ohtani shuts you down, I go, okay, yeah. he's just different. That's one of the best in the game. That's going to happen. That's the old adage. It's baseball. When somebody like this, who's been getting just pilloried out there, comes in and gets in trouble and you can't take advantage of it and ends up holding you to one hit and then the bullpen comes in and shuts you down as well. And I don't know what you do. I mean, I talk about, you know, you got to get it figured out, got to get it fixed. I don't know what that means. And maybe it means something different for each and every guy, you know, because I was looking at the numbers just for the month of September, Dave. And I put him on the sheet last night. I mean, there's not one person you point to. We can point to the injuries. We can say, well, they don't have Gino. They don't have Cal. Julio just got back last night. Yeah, that all makes sense. But you look at as a whole to see the rest of the roster just kind of fall off. And even the stars, you look at Haniger in the month of September is hitting 174 with a 250 on base. Ty France in the month of September, 194, 239 on base. Jesse Winker's hitting 147 for the month of September. He does have a 341 on base. He's got 9 walks, but he's only scored 3 runs, which means when he's getting on base, it's not amounting to anything. He doesn't steal bases. He doesn't have a stolen base in September. And with those 9 walks, he's scored just 3 runs. Adam Frazier for the month of September, 167, 245 on base. Toro, he's only had 29 at-bats, but he's hitting 103 with a 133 on base. It's just, what do you do? J.P. Crawford, 218. He's got a 368 on base. Same thing as Winker. 11 walks attribute to that on base percentage. He's only scored 5 runs. No stolen bases. So it's some guys are working their way on, but it's not adding up to anything. And some of it is them, and some of it is the guys behind them. It's just sort of a collective fail offensively.
Yeah, well, and they got 5 more left on the road, by the way, and then 10 games total, Bob. Pretty soon we'll be in single digits.
We'll be in single digits, Dave. It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
Whether you like it or not. But, you know, I'm looking at their lineup as far as against the A's because they play them 5 more times, including tonight. You got Robbie Ray, George Kirby in the next 2. You got Robbie Ray tonight, obviously, and then they don't have it listed for the 3rd game, which would be October 2nd, but on September 30th against Oakland, they got Gilbert, and then the next day Castillo, which is a day game. So we'll see what. I'm sorry, who goes? Oh, it would be Robbie Ray.
Yeah,
it would be against the Oakland A's the next time that they're home. So those are the ones they got to take advantage of, man. Going to Kansas City for 3. I mean, now all of a sudden you think, okay, some of these teams that are not good, like Detroit or Kansas City, maybe now you have to sweep them, but. Yeah, it was such a shame to see, especially, you know, the injuries and things like that. Mitch Haniger going cold. I mean, I guess what has to happen is guys like Dylan Moore have to step up, and he was 0 for last night. But, you know, in the month of this is 3 games, but in the month of September, 333, you know, he's got a stolen base, got caught stealing. He's got 2 walks. You know, he hit a couple of doubles and 3 for 9. So, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of guy that you're going to have to rely on.
Yeah, and in the end, it's one game. It's one game, and you've still got time. You know, both teams that are chasing you lost last night, so that helps. But it's more about how you lose, because again, they're going to lose other games. I don't think they're sweeping the rest of the schedule. But when you're just not even in it, That's what's frustrating. That's what's maddening. One infield hit. You just look at that and go, come on, man. I can live with it. If you go out there, you get beat 4-3, something like that. You rallied. You couldn't pull it together. Okay. All right. That's how it goes. That's baseball. But last night was just, I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Was that the worst? Because remember, Robbie Ray had a really good outing, but they got more than one hit, didn't they, in that game? It was a couple months ago. I don't know if anybody
knows. So it tied their season low of hits. June 12th, they were shut out 2-0. They had one hit.
One hit. Okay.
Yeah, this one they actually had a run because they had the bases juiced. They had runners on first and third with no outs, ended up loading the bases, and they were able to push across one run with a walk to Haggerty, I think, is what did that.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, in the game, and not like you had to rely on Carlos Santana, but he does hit the grand slam. So, I mean, that's, again, the home runs coming into play there. But, yeah, the one hit, that's just so frustrating, especially, you know, and I think for a lot of fans, they're just thinking, what are you guys doing? You know, it's just sometimes baseball goes that way. It's not like they're not trying hard. It's not like they don't know what it, you know, what's at stake, but just couldn't come up with it. And, you know, the pitching, we've talked about pitching and defense wins games, but not in this case.
Yeah, it's just three of the last four games, they've scored one run. I mean, it's just, you're looking at it and go, okay, we're not just talking about this one game. Yeah, this was sort of the icing on the cake. You know, like, come on. But you out of the last four, three of them, you only were able to produce one run in those games. And that's against the Angels, and that's against the A's. These are, you know, you want them playing better. I understand that they're not out of it and they didn't lose any ground technically because of the teams losing behind them last night. But it's a matter of just feeling, you want them to get there on their own merit. You don't want it to be, well, thank goodness the Orioles face planted and the White Sox face planted. And as you said, Dave, yeah, of course we're going to take it. But it doesn't fill me full of confidence as they head into that postseason matchup with whoever they end up facing. I'm not, you know, if the offense is flat and everybody's struggling, it's like, all right, well, awesome that they made it, but this could be a quick exit.
Yeah, and then you mentioned three of the four that they scored one run. And, you know, the five games before that, they lost one of those, but, you know, at least they scored 30 runs. So, yeah, it's really, really difficult to watch right now, especially when there's so much city and come back to a packed house on September 27th against the Rangers.
We'll be speaking with Penn Murphy at 2:30, so that'll be our player spotlight. And another bit of news, I'm just looking at a tweet from Ryan Divish 25 seconds ago. Jared Kelnick is being recalled from AAA Tacoma. He is here in Oakland, says the tweet. So,
How does that make you feel?
Okay. Hey, listen, at this point, the way everybody's just kind of fallen off. I mean, if he goes up there and strikes out, is that going to be any different than what Toro did last night or what basically anybody did last night? I mean, they had one hit. So, yeah, maybe he does something. The only thing with Kelnick I worry about is where is he at mentally? If he comes up, he gets called up again, and now spotlight is really bright right now. This isn't April. This isn't May. This is the stretch. This is the stretch to end the drought. And if he comes up short, he doesn't do anything. If he, you know, he's struggling again, what does that do to his confidence? I don't know. I mean, obviously they know more about where he's at mentally and physically than anybody. So I'll trust the move, and we'll see if he can bring a spark. Perhaps, who knows? He's got the ability, just hasn't manifested on the at the big league level.
How cool would that be, though? I mean, we don't even talk about him. Jared Kelnick, we talked about him almost exclusively last year. And now, if he were to come up and get hot here for the last 15 games, man, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing him play.
I haven't seen anything in the way of a corresponding move. Nothing on that yet. So we'll pass that along. But for those of you just tuning in, Jared Kelnick being recalled from AAA Tacoma. He is apparently there in Oakland, according to a tweet from Ryan Divish. So, all right, we'll see what he does. I'm all for giving him a shot, man. I give anybody a shot. I mean, Scott's been moving the chess pieces all over the place. You know, it's a matter of finding the right combination, I guess. But meanwhile, Seahawks looking to move forward in terms of moving past what took place last week. They'll take on the Falcons. And this is a team, Dave, that you look at the, you know, if you buy into the power rankings or any of that, the opinion, I'll say this, the national opinion of the Falcons is lower than that of the Seahawks. So I don't know if that means anything, because you look at the points scored, they've scored almost twice as many points as the Seahawks have in their first two games. And they've They're 0-2, but they've lost both games by a combined 5 points. So it's I haven't paid really little attention to them. I don't know what they look like out there, but when you lose two games by a combined 5, it's not like they're going out there getting their tail kicked, and they seem like they're able to put up points. So I don't know that this is going to be the cakewalk that some look at it as.
Well, I don't think it's a cakewalk until they fix things. I mean, look, this is going to be this way for a while, that it's not going to be so much about their opponents. I mean, after this, you got Detroit and then New Orleans, and then I think we come home against
Arizona.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think right now it's going to be that. I mean, look, they put up 26 and 27 points. They made a game of the Ram game.
Yeah.
I mean, if Cooper Kupp's not in that game, that guy's ridiculous, by the way. I watched that game. He made some of the most crazy catches. And then Stafford's confidence in throwing it to him. I mean, I guess I don't even blame the Atlanta Falcon defensive backs. So, but you know, and they've got some good players. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is kind of a Deebo Samuel type of guy. He had 160 yards. Like he's good for like almost 100 per game. They got Drake London, who was a first rounder.
Does it feel like Patterson's been in the league for like 2 decades?
Well, I remember when he was with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah, well, and we talked to Andy today. Andy, oh my God, now I'm blanking his name. He used to be at our station. Yeah, Bunker's back in Atlanta. Mm. You know, and I was asking him about some of the guys. Grady Jarrett, really good player. They got some solid guys, but look, until they get things fixed, whether it's linebackers getting off blocks, not missing tackles, being able to minimize the penalties and things like that. You know, I was looking today. We talked about how I want to see these guys play. I want to see them get out there and just suffer through this. But Abe Lucas has a illegal downfield, false start, holding penalty. This is in the two games. DT Taylor's been offsides a couple of times. Kobe Bryant's got an illegal contact and a PI. Michael Jackson, 2 PIs. Woolen, 2 PIs. So, I mean, until they're able to get that part fixed, every game's there's not going to be any kind of a walkover game for this team this year.
Yeah, and KJ Wright, just in addressing what we saw against the 49ers, talking about this, saying he, in his opinion, they still hadn't moved on from week one.
When I watched Coach Carroll last week, I felt like last week when he played the Broncos, he took that game very personal. I felt like he made that game about Coach Carroll. And internal, when you made the game personal, when you make it about Coach Carroll, what happens when you win that game? You take a big sigh of relief, like, I did it. And internally, when I looked at that football team, I looked at a football team that felt like they arrived. I felt like a good team that they made it. And when I looked at them, they weren't physically ready. Mentally, they were not there. And I felt like, Coach Carroll, you've been around this for a long time, right? You cannot put that message out to my validation, talking about all the former players, because internally, your team hears that.
That's interesting to hear that from KJ. Pete kind of talked about that, like, yeah, we didn't really handle that one right. Remember, we were listening to the audio 2 days ago, Bob, and Pete's always going to be very honest about that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I thought, to me, I still, and look, I'm not in the locker room, and I'll take Pete's word for it, and I'll take the players too, but to me, it was more about a bunch of young players who had one less day, and he talked about the walkthrough and how maybe we shouldn't have done that. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I have a hard time believing that the human nature thing took over, because Pete's such an experienced coach. But, KJ certainly has been on the team more recently than anybody else.
All right, let's take two.
Well, last night, Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run of the season, putting him one shy of the American League record of 61 hit by Roger Maris. So throw this out there to you guys. Is that the record, or is it Barry Bonds' actual record of 73?
Yeah, I'll defer to Bob on this.
Yeah,
Bob would have some thoughts.
I refuse to acknowledge Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa,
him and his
Mark
huge
McGuire.
Hair.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's irrefutable at this point what was going on, and they are certainly not alone, but they are the ones to exceed 60-plus home runs. Barry Bonds had never hit more than 50 in his career, and then when he gets into his late 30s, he hits 73. I mean, come on, man. So, yeah, if Aaron Judge hits 62, in my mind, he holds – I know officially it won't, but in my opinion, in my mind, unless he's proven to be doing something untoward behind the scenes, he would be the record holder for seasons, home runs in a season.
Well, when people talk about, you know, oh, of course he's on something. Look how huge he is. I mean,
did it make him grow taller? He's 6'7".
No, exactly. And, you know, some guys are just physical, you know, I'm not supposed to say, you know, freaks or just, you know, just beyond what other people are. And that's Aaron Judge, man. I love it. Did you ever see 61 with Barry Pepper?
Yeah, that was great.
That might be, you know, whenever we talk about great baseball movies, that was pretty awesome, man. So
made you feel terrible for Maris, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. Congratulations to Aaron Judge. Yeah.
Well,
until
Suns
we play him.
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver says he's planning to sell both the Suns and the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. This comes after he was suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million after an investigation uncovered racist and misogynistic actions taken by Sarver.
Yeah, and apparently it was repeatedly over the years. And you know, Dave, I just love in his statement, you know, they said, I thought I'd take that year to reflect and blah, blah, blah. But in our current unforgiving climate, it's become painfully clear that is no longer possible. It's like, I like that he's turned into the victim in this whole thing. And you got multiple people that work in the front office that didn't want to be named, but just said, hey, you know, I'm pleased to know that while he was initially not genuinely remorseful for his actions, it does bring me comfort to know he was able to put the organization and city before his own needs. Another one said, I'm relieved, I'm beyond happy, I'm empowered, and I'm motivated to continue to ensure that all of the men in that organization still in power who upheld this culture are rooted out. I mean, this is not a one-time thing. He slipped, he said something dumb, made a dumb joke. It seems like there was a pattern, but his statement makes it sound like, well, in today's society, I can't get away with that. So,
well, just take your money and go, I guess. I mean, and yeah, like you said, I mean, every once in a while you have somebody who just, you know, for whatever reason slips and is like, oh, I'm really sorry. It's just ridiculous. I mean, this was a number of times.
Yeah, this was a pattern. And you got employees celebrating now. So that should tell you something about what's going on there. All right. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Mariners reliever Penn Murphy is going to join us next here with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Mariners getting back to business tonight. Game two of their series with the Oakland A's. You'll catch it right here starting at 5:30 with the pregame, 6:40 first pitch. And we get a chance to speak to a member of that bullpen, which has been fantastic for the second year in a row. He joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. In fact, we may have been his first interview when he got called up.
I'm pretty
certain of it. Penn Murphy is with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing excellent, fellas. How are y'all doing?
I'm sure that was a huge day for you as well, speaking to us and being the first guys you spoke to in Seattle. That had to be momentous, right?
Top highlight, for sure.
Just sent you on your way, Penn, right?
Well, the cool thing, you hadn't even thrown a pitch at that time. I think it was right after you were brought up to the big club and you had yet to pitch. And now we fast forward through the season and this bullpen has been pretty much lights out again. I mean, what's that experience been like for you and just, you know, integrating yourself amongst these guys and just the way you guys have been able to handle your business?
Well, it's been so much fun. You know, we have a really good group of guys down there, good culture, and, you know, they welcome me with open arms. So I credit the guys who were here last year, who kind of set the standard and, you know, showed me the ropes a little bit, but it's been an absolute joy and we've been keeping it light and fun and competing. So it's been an awesome year.
Yeah. How happy are you, man? I mean, I know a lot of times you talk to athletes and it's like when your career's over, you go, you know, I wish I had appreciated it more, but man, I feel like this has got to be just a blast for you right now, especially considering what the team has done this year.
Well, yeah, I think that, I mean, you know, I've been a part of a lot of locker rooms and teams throughout the years, and you always, it's like having that teacher when you're in middle school or high school, the one that stands out that you remember that like really, really changed your year or made a subject that you might have not been as interested in, like really cool.
Yeah.
And it's the same for teams and locker rooms, and there's certain ones that just stick out above the rest, and this is one of those teams for me, you know, and it's not just the whole clubhouse. And it's just been an absolute joy to walk into work every day and, you know, I'm definitely thankful for it. I don't take it for granted.
Hey, keep your head on a swivel there, Penn. It sounds like things are falling around you, so be careful. Be careful.
We can't have you getting hurt, man.
No, we're good. We got a catering cart coming through the hallway.
I got you. Hey, as far as the season goes, I mean, we are winding down, and I keep, you know, remarking to my co-host, we're now in the teens, and pretty soon we're going to be in single digits in terms of games left. So do you guys feel that? I mean, for me, I'll speak for me. I'm living and dying with every game. Every game means the world as a Mariner fan. Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel the spotlight growing on each one of these games as the, you know, the season becomes shorter and shorter?
No, I think that's the trick. I mean, Jack Nicklaus, when he golfed, you know, in those major tournaments, would always say he thought they were easier to win because everyone else was paying attention to the noise. And I credit, you know, the guys, like I said, the older guys in the locker room who are treating it just like the first week. You know, I think that's the key, is keeping it consistent. And there is going to be a lot of noise. We're prepared for that, but it just, you know, it's another day. It's another game. We're going to go at it the same way we've gone at it all year, and not build it up to be anything more than what it is. So, no, we're just still enjoying it. We're showing up to work. We're smiling, you know, and obviously there's light at the end of the tunnel in terms of games left, but no, I think that's the trick. And, you know, the older guys in this locker room have done a really good job of showing up by example. Like, we're treating this the exact same way every single day.
Is there a pitch for you, Penn, that you have has kind of developed for you as this season has gone on? Or you mentioned consistency. Has it been pretty consistent, just what you've been throwing all along?
Yeah, I think that the biggest change I've made this year has been my fastball. Most guys who throw from my slot typically have an element of arm side run. I still do throw a little bit of a sinker here and there, but my primary fastball has been a shape that, you know, I kind of started to grasp a little bit towards the end of last year, like the last third of the season last year, and just really cementing that this year has been a huge plus, because it is a unique pitch. It's got a lack of arm side run, and fine tuning that throughout the year has been a huge plus. I feel like my breaking ball has always kind of been, you know, my bread and butter and my best pitch. So just making sure that doesn't drift too much, but also tweaking and refining the fastball, I think, has been a huge thing for me.
Penn, for you, I mean, in baseball years, you're not a young guy. In life, you're 28 years old. You're still, you know, a lot in front of you. But in baseball, you got up to the big club a little bit later. Is it? And I imagine you thought about it, you know, night in, night out, year after year, what it would be like, what this life would be like. Has it lived up to whatever your expectations were? Is it better? Not as good? How do you view just life as a big leaguer now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the dream come true. You know, I said it to Matt Festa the other day on the bus. I was like, dude, we're in the freaking big leagues. You know, it randomly dawned on me at times. But no, for the most part, it feels the same in terms of everyday schedule. You know, you show up, you get your work done, you play in front of a few fans, and then you go home and play guitar or do whatever you do at the end of the night. But everything else is, I mean, even when you're in the minor leagues, you're paying attention to the big league club, right? Like, what's going on? Who's winning what? Like, what's the race looking like? And now that you're a part of it, it's set in a little bit. But no, I just enjoy being with my friends. I just enjoy coming into work, and that's not exclusive or limited to just the players, you know, our staff members who I enjoy and have developed a lot of relationships with. So it feels normal but different. I don't know how else to describe it. It's what I want to be doing. Definitely something I've dreamed about for a long time, but I don't think age really has anything to do with it. It's just I'm following my heart right now and enjoying the process, enjoying the ride.
Man, that sounds like fun. Is there anybody in particular that provides a little bit of levity, you know, who keeps it light or whatever there that you appreciate?
That's a long list. I'm very, very blessed and very fortunate. You know, there's a wide net that I can cast at any given moment. And there's, you know, there's just a lot of healthy personalities in this clubhouse, staff and players alike. So I couldn't limit that to just one.
You know, you said you go out, play in front of a few fans. I assume you're talking about Oakland, where they have 17 people show up. But as far as the fans in Seattle, I mean, that building has been full, and the electricity has been different than it has been in years past, except for the end of last season. What's that been like for you? As just as a team, how much do you guys feed off the energy of a packed building going nuts every time something good happens for the team?
It's definitely, I mean, playing in front of a home crowd is incredible, you know, and I wasn't referring to any stadium in particular. It's just, it's a way to.
No, that was me.
it was a way to mitigate, you know, just trying to block it out sometimes. But I will say playing in front of the Seattle fan base the past several weeks, and I mean, really all season, but when T-Mobile gets rocking, it's some of the most fun baseball I've ever played. So yeah, we definitely feed off of it. And I mean, just like that last game against the Braves, like that, I blacked out, you know, and complete mayhem. So yeah, that's what you play for. And it's just fun to have that support, and, you know, seeing what we can bring to those fans has been a real joy, but we definitely feed off of it. Sometimes I think it's easier to play in front of bigger, actually all the time, I think it's easier to play in front of bigger crowds because you can't hear individual things. You feel it more than anything. You feel the stadium get louder. And it's an energy thing, right? But when you play in front of really small crowds, you can hear that one man or woman in the stadium kind of yelling at you, and it, you can lock on to individual people. And that's actually, I think, harder. But yeah, the bigger crowds, it's fun because it's, you feel it. You don't necessarily hear it.
Well, Penn, it's been really cool to see you do what you've been doing this season. You've been such a valuable part of this bullpen, which collectively has been great. And we wish you nothing but the best, obviously, moving forward, and look forward to talking to you in the postseason.
All righty. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. There's Penn Murphy of your Seattle Mariners. Yeah, when we talked to him the first time, he had yet to throw a pitch.
Yeah.
You know, he had just been called up to the big club. And
yeah, and I remember Lefko was like, who the hell is this guy? Remember no, you said that, Mike?
I know.
He was so confused.
I don't think I was there that day.
Yeah, I think you were.
Okay.
Yeah,
you were there.
No, it was, yeah, it's been cool to watch him. Yeah, it does sound like you.
Didn't he call himself like the hippie cowboy or something like
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hipster cowboy, and he's like, yeah, there's a little bit more to that than what people yeah. are thinking about me. So,
all right. Hey, a reminder that's Tuesday, September 27th through Thursday, September 29th. Mariners value games are happening. 6:40 p.m. versus the Rangers Tuesday through Thursday. The final homestand of the regular season begins with three straight Mariners value games against the Rangers on Tuesday. Starting on Tuesday, September 27th, you can grab $10 view tickets, $20 main, $30 Terrace Club seats for those games. So take advantage of that. Check it out at mariners.com. That's where you're going to get all the info there. All right, coming up, one big source of frustration is gone, but don't worry, there's always things to complain about. What's bugging Bob? Coming your way next. It is Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
Never a shortage of things. Never a shortage of things. Before we get into that, Dave, just want to update people on... We talked about Jared Kelnick being called back up.
Mm-hmm.
He also he's got company, so he's called back up. Luis Torrens has been called back up as well. Our guy Taylor Trammell has been optioned back to AAA Tacoma, and Jake Lamb DFA'd. So there you go; those are the corresponding moves. So we'll see what goes on there. But just a little for those. What's funny, Dave? I don't know if you've got the tech screen up at your place there, but surprising level of optimism around Kelnick. I think when the offense has been struggling the way that it has, they look at that as a potential spark, you know, that he could bring. But you look at what he's done. He's hit safely in his last 11 games, September 6th through the 18th. He's reached base in 18 of 19 games dating back to August 28th in Tacoma. And in 15 September games with the Rainiers, Kelnick is batting .350 with 15 runs, 6 doubles, 4 home runs, 11 runs driven in, 6 walks, 4 stolen bases, getting on base at a .412 clip, and slugging .650. So there you go.
You know what's amazing about that is that he could, like, be the hero of Seattle and the Seattle Mariners. If he goes on some kind of a hot streak here and, you know, hits a game-clinching home run that they really need or something.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Just, you know, not only for him especially, but for a lot of fans that I think there's a lot of fans that have written him off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a. He's pretty polarizing for a guy who's spent very little time here, hasn't really said much. I mean, it's we've got comments from the years previous. Well, I know I could have helped this team. There's no doubt in my mind. Those things felt like he should have been called up earlier. But in the way of, you know, making remarks after games while he was up with the big club last year or this year, he hasn't really said much, hasn't produced yet. Somehow we get a lot of Kelnick hate on the text, you know, like he's been this thorn in their side, or, yeah, this guy's a bust. He's hardly been here. And this is, you know, just reflecting back to last year, this is when he started to shine. So maybe he provides a bit of a spark for him. I mean, again, if he goes out there and he doesn't come up with hits, he'll just blend right in, because that's what's going on with his team. And that's what's bugging me, Dave. An offense that has been this. It's not every night, but it has been the weakest part of this team. When we've talked from the beginning of the season, we talked about it at the trade deadline. We've talked about, you know, pitching versus defense versus offense. Offense was the problem last year, and it's the problem this year. And you're seeing it rear its ugly head at the wrong time. Now, I still think they're making the playoffs. I don't think they're going to choke it away. I'm not, you know, alarmist about it. But it's last night was just so frustrating to me. Again, and just as a baseball fan, yeah, you're going to lose games. I totally understand it. But when you're not competitive, you know, when some of the at-bats you watched and you're just going, what is happening here? And the guy's expanding their zone and just chasing things that you never had seen them chase before, certain individuals. You're just like, what is happening here? What is going on? How, you know, it's maybe it's guys trying too hard. I don't know what's going on. But last night, just that one got to me. It doesn't change the outcome of the season. I think they're getting the postseason, but that was just a frustrating game to sit through.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever that happens, I think of you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I wonder what Bob's doing over there.
Yelling.
Throwing things, screaming, yelling.
Yeah, yelling.
What about your neighbors? Are they like, what's going on over there?
You know, what's funny is I often forget that I have my windows open. So I'm certain they can hear me, because sometimes I'll leave my TV on and I'll take Frank out front real quick and run back in. I can hear the TV. And I'm louder than the TV when bad things are happening. So,
yeah. My two awesome neighbors there, every once in a while, go, oh my gosh, you know, because we all had kids the same age. And they're like, you know, I hope you didn't hear me, you know, over here screaming at my kids. I'm like, no, I can't hear you screaming at your kids, because I can't hear over myself screaming at my kids. So, yeah, maybe you have some good neighbors that know. But I think it'll be interesting. By the way, for the texters, we can track them, right? Like, how far is the history of
previous texts?
Yeah, because I think that there's going to be a lot of people that are like, oh, you guys were writing off Kelnick a long time ago. I was on his side the whole time.
Oh, yeah, we can see their, I think, as far back as they started sending them.
Yeah, so just be mindful of that, texters.
Ever. In their life.
In their
ever
life.
Sent anything.
Yeah, every text.
Even ones that didn't come to us. We can see everything. Yeah, we're watching. yeah, we can go back. So, yeah, if somebody wants to falsely claim, like, I knew it the whole time, I told you guys, yeah, we can go back and we can verify. We can fact check.
Well, some people are good. 206 goes, yeah, I don't even want him to be a hero. I want him to get a double here, single there, a few home runs, catch a few balls in the outfield. In other words, be a part of the team.
That's Jen.
All right, Jen and Beaverton. Okay. I thought that was going to go a different way. I thought whoever it was going to go full, like, scorched earth on him. Like, I don't even want him to be a hero. I'd rather not go to the playoffs.
Well, here's some pessimism from the 206. Kelnick up? Question mark. It's Tacoma in capital letters. Far cry from Major League Baseball. He'll come up here and bat 109 and go 4-for-40 like he always does. Who cares?
I'm going to be, hey, I'll tell you what, whoever sent that text, you're going to be right next to me putting Jared Kelnick on our shoulders and carrying him off the field.
Your knee allows.
Yeah, if my knee allows. Hopefully it's rehab by then. But it's pretty interesting that he's coming up, because you're right. You said it earlier. He's a polarizing character for whatever reason. I don't know. He's not been a jerk or anything. He's not said anything bad. I just think people, maybe it's his demeanor, or maybe when he said, hey, I know I could have helped this team, you know, maybe that. I don't know, but I'll take whatever, man.
Yeah, I'm pulling for him. As long as he's part of this organization, I am fully on board. Dude, I'm behind him 1,000%. I hope he turns into a superstar. because that's great for the team.
And you know what? He can come on our show and be a total jerk to us.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You punks, you don't know what you're doing in radio. I'm like, thanks, Jared. We love you.
We love you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for the boost into the playoffs. By the way, Dave, I just have to say before we get to the break here that I can't complain about the commute. The West Seattle Bridge has been open.
Nice.
It is. I've left at different times each day based on our schedule and gone home. It's been glorious.
I thought I heard a little pep in your step, Bob.
Absolutely glorious.
You're surprisingly happy considering the Mariners got one hit last night.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was brutal. But the commute, it's amazing. I get emotional. All right. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up, the Huskies are off to a great start. We're going to catch up with Christian Cable of talk some UW football. He works for The Athletic. He's going to join us next here with Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.